Numbers chapter 11, we're going to talk about God's provision versus man's pride. God's provision versus man's pride. Numbers chapter 11. And I'm going to take a little bit of time, and if this divides into 2 days, it'll be all right. Everything always is when we're talking about Sunday school. But God's provision versus man's pride, I've tried to instill in myself, in my own heart, a simple saying that God is good every day, all the time. I've tried to do that. I've tried to tell myself that over and over again. When you go through things in a Christian life, if you can keep reminding yourself that God is good all the time, it'll help you to get through day after day activities. You'll start to understand that God puts us through things sometimes, that He wants us to get stronger living through them. Amen? That's just what He wants us to do, and He decides for us to do that. If we can give God the glory for the things that we're going through, I believe we'll get through them a lot easier. That being said, you must remember, and I'm going to take you back, and I'm going to ask you some questions, okay? It's going to be a little bit different. Usually it's just me hollering at you. But today I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to see if you can answer some of these questions. I did this in chapel, and the kids got them right, so no pressure, okay? The kids got them right, so no pressure. Okay, we remember back in Exodus, one of the greatest things about Exodus was the exodus of the children of Israel out of where? Egypt. Very good. Now, as they came out of Egypt, God brought them out by a mighty hand, okay? Now, He did this how? What was the mighty hand that the children of Israel got to witness? What were they? It was a group of things. That was after they got out of Egypt. In Egypt, there were 10 things. They were called the plagues, okay? This mighty hand that God showed Himself powerful. Now, with that overwhelming answer, I wonder how many can name me one. Locusts, flies, lice, frogs, the moraine, hailstones, okay? By the way, I was so proud. The elementary kids got all 10. The elementary kids got all 10. I was pretty excited about that, actually. Good job, teachers. Amen. So I was real excited about it. The only one they missed was flies, and then Miss Black came up with that one. But anyways, when you're just doing, you didn't give these kids prep time. They just knew them, and it was pretty neat to watch them do this. But anyways, they got to see all these things. Now, they get out of Egypt. On the way out of Egypt, the Lord provided them with gold, jewels, things of that nature. How? They spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians just decided, take our stuff. Okay? And Israel said, okay. Not that big of a deal. They're pretty easy stuff. So they leave in a great huge group. They get to the Red Sea. We all know what happens there. Okay? They get to the Red Sea. Moses says, what in the world are we going to do now? The armies of Pharaoh come from behind. They're trapped. The people start to complain. Moses says, Lord, what should we do? Be still, know that I am God. Tells him what to do, takes his staff, waters part, people go across on dry ground. They go across on dry ground, miss the way through the sea. I'm guessing miss the way through this 2 million people-ish. So you don't really know. I mean, where were they in the midst of the sea? I don't know, there's 2 million of them, okay? I'm not sure where exactly they were. But they get into this thing. Well, Pharaoh, not to be denied, chases them. I got to imagine, and I'm just thinking here, and we'll just park for a moment. What was Pharaoh thinking? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm riding a chariot through the midst of walls of water on both sides, I'm taking a minute to look. He was so mad at them, he just dove right in. He didn't even care. So he drives his chariot through this, and you know what happens. Children of Israel make it to the other side. The Lord brings the water back down on him. How many would say those are pretty incredible things to witness in just a short time? Those are some pretty incredible things. I don't know about you. I've never seen the waters part of a sea. Never. I've never seen great hailstones come down on people. I've never seen a moraine. I've never seen the flies come like crazy, the frogs, the water turning into blood. I've never seen any of that. Children of Israel got to witness that though, right? Now, knowing those things, I want you to look at Numbers, and I want you to understand how many would say that the Lord provided everything to this point. I mean, I don't think the children of Israel blew with their mouths and the seas parted. I don't think the children of Israel stole Egypt stuff. I don't think the children of Israel did a rain dance and had hailstones come down. God brought them out. Now, if you look at Numbers chapter 11, by the way, the children of Israel complained all the time. The children of Bethel complained all the time. Okay, now, and I'm not, understand this. I just want to draw your attention to the difference between God's provision and man's pride. There's a difference between what God has given us, hold on to this, what God has given us versus what we think we ought to have. God's provision, man's pride. What do you think you ought to have? Now, I want you to see, now understand this. I'm with you. I've been here. Like a lot. I mean, whatever. A lot. I mean, and I you have too. You say what you want to. Smile at me this morning. You know I'm right. But at the same time, God has always wanted to provide for us. He promised He would provide for us. He promised His children to not go begging bread. Yet we find ourselves over here all the time begging for everything else. Now, look at what this says. And there's a couple of points that I want to bring up to you. I hope we get to them today. We may not. You know how it goes. But I'm going to tell you, this is a very interesting thought. And I want you to see in chapter 11 and verse 1 of Numbers. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought now. God has not changed. When we complain about what we're going through, and let me tell you something. They were complaining about God's provision. They weren't necessarily complaining about what they were going through. They were complaining about what they were getting from God. That's a whole different ball game. It's one thing to complain and be Brother Mike and laying in a bed and say, God, why complaining? Although I don't know that he did that. I don't know. What I do know is that when he provided a way for Brother Mike to come out, then what? See, because they've brought him out. God's brought him out of slavery here. They're out of slavery. They've come through the Red Sea. They're on the other side. They complain about having no water. God gave them water. They complain about not having food. God gave them food. Now, does anybody know what the food was? That God. Now, what does manna mean? Does anybody know what manna means? No, no, and no. What does the Bible say manna means? The literal, what does it mean? What is it? That's what it means. Search the Bible. If you look in the Bible, it means what is it? The children of Israel went outside and saw it and said, what is it? Honestly, that's what it is. And it's manna. That's what the name of it is. They walked out. It's amazing how they did that. And the Hebrew people did it. I always wondered, and this is just an off. I always wondered, how did they know what to name their kid? They named Jacob, Jacob, because he's a surplanter. That's what the name means. Well, how did they know that when he was born? Think about that for a minute. The people of the Bible were extremely intelligent. God gave them insights that are unbelievable. If you look through the names of the children that they name, it's amazing how often they called David beloved. God called him beloved a lot. It's amazing. I don't know, whatever. You can do what you want. I love to study that kind of stuff in the Bible to find out what name means. That's why I got called beloved. When I was born, I said David, beloved. It's whatever. They knew it. Anyways, he brings them out and he feeds them with manna. Here they are, out in the wilderness, starving. God promised he'd provide. So he provides for them manna. Now, I want to show you something real quick. Go over to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. In verse 15, well, let's do 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. What is it? Manna. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, I don't know exactly what it looked like. They talk about it in the Bible. We'll read it here in a second, as a wafer, as a seed, as something small. And they show you in the Bible, and we'll get to this in a minute, but they show you that you can bake it, you can seethe it, which is to boil it. I believe you could pick it up and eat it. Okay, I just believe that's what it was. Okay, it was provision of food for God's people. Now look at this, verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. What did God provide? Their needs. If you took up enough and you was big, heavy set, fell and ate a lot, you had enough. If you was a little wispy thing that didn't need much, you didn't lack. Okay? You took up what you needed and you ate it. Now look, and Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, just like normal, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Just went away, okay? The next day it would be fresh anew, brand new. Isn't God good? Every day he provides for you brand new. He doesn't want, he's none of his provision is going to go overboard. None of his provision is going to be left behind. And by the way, when he provides something for you, he doesn't want you to leave it behind. That's good stuff. Now, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. They said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that which ye will see, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. That day you can gather twice as much and hold on to it till the next day, because the next day you're not supposed to gather. The next day you're supposed to rest. Moses bade, and it did not stink. And neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather. Not hard directions. Don't show up, because there won't be any. But some still did. Okay? So you must understand, God is trying to provide them. We'll go down to verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Okay? I believe you could scoop this stuff up in your hand and put it in your mouth and eat it. I believe you could take it, and it shows you later on, and we'll get to that in a second, over in Numbers, where you could put it in a mortar, and you could hit it with a pestle, and you could turn that into flour, and you could make it into cakes. There was things that you could do with it. In other words, God wasn't just wanting you to go and grab it and eat it, but you could. You could do that. It was basically ready to eat. Amen? It was ready to go. It was provision that the people just could go out and get. This was God's provision. You could do with it several different things. It's amazing that God didn't even want them to get bored with his provision. He fed them with this for 40 years. And it's tasted like honey. Over in Numbers, it says it tasted like fresh oil. I'm going to tell you, God did a pretty good job of giving them their provision. By the way, a spiritual application, he wanted to show the people of Israel that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He told them he would provide by his word, and he did what his word said. Okay? Now, all this is setting up in chapter 11, verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. God did a great job at giving them. I love bread. I'm going to tell you right now, you give me bread. Whoo. Yesterday, my wife and I went to Guido's for spaghetti. Guido's is good. I don't care. That's good. That make your cholesterol goes up 800 points. It's good. Walked in there and got spaghetti, and they brought out the bag. I said, listen, do you have bread in there? I mean bread, not the rolls. I'm talking the bread, because Guido's makes their bread fresh. I could smell it, and I wanted to have some. Well, we could. Could I get a loaf? No, we don't have enough for a loaf, but we could get you a couple slices each. I said, man, please do that. I'll be right back. It's coming out of the oven right now. Man, I'm telling you, I'm drooling all over myself. I love Guido's bread. I'm telling you, everything in me wanted to reach back in the back seat. I put it back there so I couldn't get it. Reach back in the back seat and unwrap some of that bread and put it in my mouth. Man, alive, get that butter and melting all over. Man, we should just pray right now. And I love the fact that God provided them with bread, teaching them that you ought not live by bread alone. You shall not. And the people complained. Going on in verse 1, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And this is, by the way, we're not even to the part that I wanted to get to yet. I'm still laying foundation here. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now listen, Christian, we make a hobby of complaining. Somebody help me in here this morning. We make a hobby in not being satisfied with what God has given us. We make a hobby of saying, God, why? Why do they have this and they have this, but we have this? We take what God has given us, forget about that, and go over to man's pride. God, I deserve this. God, I serve you. I work hard. I deserve this. You deserve nothing. You deserve nothing. I'll give you an example, bearing myself to you, and I'll not do this, but whatever. You know how I am. I preach this at me long before I preach this at you. The Lord gives me a bike. Gave it to me. My brother-in-law gives me a call. Works over Vandeveer. Manager, you need a car? You need to go see him. He calls me and says, David, I got a bike here. I think you'll like it. I think you ought to come look at it. So for less than my tax refund was, this bike cost. God gave it to me. He gave it to me. You say what you want. God gave it to me. Here's a bike, brother. You've been praying for 3 years, and you may not take that seriously, but listen, this was my heart's desire for a very long time, 3 years. And the Lord finally said, okay, I've heard enough whining. Here it is. Oh, I know, I'm the only one that whines, right? Here it is. So he gives it to me. I rode it around me, and I love it. It's awesome. I love it. I cannot believe it. In my garage right now, titles in my house, I can't believe I've got a bike sitting over there. It's unbelievable. I love it so much. It's awesome. But do you know in the first 2 days what I said? One of these days I'll have a Harley. Now think about that. Now listen. At first, I said, man, I'm going to use this. Boy, this is going to be a great stepping stone. I got this bike. I own it for free, and boy, it's awesome. And man, one of these days, and I hear a Harley drive by, and only one thing sounds like a Harley, and that's a Harley. I don't care who you are. Only one thing sounds like a Harley. They've all tried to mask it and make it sound like that, but only one thing sounds like a Harley. Brian, am I telling the truth? That's a Harley. Brother Dan, am I telling the truth? That's a Harley. Only one thing sounds like a Harley, and I heard one go by, and mine didn't sound like that. Wait a minute. God's provision is right here, and I'm riding it. So what do? I come over here. One of these days, I'll get me a Harley. Now listen, nothing wrong with a Harley, but that's not what God provided for me. Now I beat myself up over this, and I know this may sound like foolishness to you, but I want, what is your provision? What is your provision that God has given you? And yet because you're a Christian or because you're somebody in your own eye, and I understand, please don't misread me. I'm telling you what I did. I've got to believe that somebody else in here is like this. I deserve better. So I'm thinking as I'm riding this, man, one of these days this is going to be a Harley. How dare I say that? God gave me what I'm riding. I'm pretty happy with what God gave me. I'm not even going to look on this side. What do I deserve? I got a free bike. What do I deserve? What a great and wonderful miracle in my life this is. Why would I want to, listen, how much of a miracle was it to get up in the morning, walk outside and food's laying on the ground. What a wonderful miracle. What a wonderful provision. Now, I want you to see this. The people cried. By the way, the Lord just took out a bunch of them for complaining. God would have taken me out a long time ago if he's still doing this. Verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Glory to God, they went to the man of God prayed, and the fire was quenched. Look at this. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. They just got done with it. They just got done with complaining. God just took a bunch of people out because of it. Look at what happens. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh? This is not enough. The bread is not enough. The manna is not enough. It's not enough that it tastes like wafers of honey. It's not enough that I just go pick it up off the ground. It's not enough. Who's going to give us flesh? Look at this now. And this is what I want you to see, this transitional period between getting provided for and getting pride. Look what it says now. Who shall give us flesh to eat? Verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Liars. They were slaves. The cucumbers, the melons and the leeks, and the onions and the garlic. But now, look at this statement. But now our soul is dried away. Now later on in the Bible, the Lord talks about he filled their bellies, but their soul was empty. Christians, we walk around a lot with filled bellies and empty souls. Not that we're not saved. We just don't look at God. We don't look at him. We don't even think about him. But our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. Look at this now. Can you see these statements? There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. God, I'm sick of walking out of my tent and finding wafers of honey laying all over the ground. I'm tired, Lord, of just walking out and being able to just take it. I'm tired, Lord, of not getting something that I believe I deserve. Lord, I believe I deserve more than manna. I believe I deserve something more. Lord, who's going to give it to me? Think about that statement for a minute, because this is what's being said. It's like my children are getting a house and a roof and blankets and a bed and coming to me, Daddy, that's not enough. And by the way, my kids have said it. I've said it as a kid. I've said it as a Christian. God, I know you've given me a nice suit of clothes. I got a nice shirt on today. My wife picked it all out and laid it out for me, so I'm not embarrassed in front of you all. I've got a good family. I've got a great church. Everything's great. And Lord, it's just not enough. I know you've provided all this for me. But God, I want more. Who's going to give it to me? God, I want it to be you. He didn't say he'd provide all my wants. He said he would provide my needs. And you can go to the scripture that says he'll give you the desires of your heart, but you better be careful, because the first part of that verse is you're supposed to desire the will of God. And if you desire the will of God, he's going to delight in you and give you the desires of your heart. Well, what's your desire of your heart if you delight in the will of God? It's the will of God. So you better be careful. Well, if I care enough about God, he's going to give me that Harley Davidson. No, that's not true. That's not what he said. He cares about me. I waited for 3 years. I'm just using myself as an example of how pathetic I am. I complained all 3 years. Ask any biker. Complained for 3 solid years, praying. God, what are you doing? And I threw this at God too. We have a biker ministry, God. Come on. It's funny. I can't believe you don't fire me over all the indiscretions that I have. Here I am, God. We have a ministry at the church, bikers. You see all the bikes. Associate pastor doesn't have one. Don't you see a problem with this? I'm just asking. Have we ever been there?
Yes.
Well, God, I got a ministry at the church, God. And he said he'd give you all the tools. Guess what? I don't have to have a bike to be in the biker ministry. I preached the Word of God to bikers. All the years I didn't have one, I still preached the Word of God. The tool I needed was the Bible. Guess what? I got that. See, it's amazing. People don't understand that God loves taking care of His children. It's what He wants to do. He loves to take care of them, but we as children fall a-lusting so often that we desire to have more than what God has provided. Now, and it's because we don't fall in love with God's provision. Sadly, sometimes we don't even see what God's provision is. We're in a country that is so overwhelmingly wealthy. Oh, we can talk about the economy all we want to. We don't know what poverty is here. And here we are in God's provision. He provided us a place. We're in America, the greatest place in the whole wide world. We can't do anything but whine and complain all the time. Why? Because we are over here so much. We are in our own pride so often. And it displeases God. Look at this now. The people went about, gathered it, ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as a taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it every night. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased, and Moses said to the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?" Now you got the preacher upset. I want you to skip down. The Lord takes care of that too. Skip all the way down to... Take verse 18. Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. Now, wait a minute. Was that God's provision? Now, I want you to think with me. God's provision was the manna. Is God's provision the flesh? No. It's not what He wants to do. God is giving them what they're asking for. But it's not what God wants to give them. Do you remember back when they said, "God, give us a king"? So He gave them Saul. But God always wanted to be their king. It was never His desire for us to have a man as a king. Never. He always wanted to be our king. Look what this says. Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat." I have to hearken back to when I got saved here. Because the Egypt is always a type of the world. And we're taken out of the world. When we get saved, we're taken out of the world. We're having the ability to come over and live as a Christian where God is. When you're a lost person, when you're over here, you're in bondage to sin. When you're over here, God has made you free. Now, not set you free. Don't give me the set you free, because if you're set free, you can remember the jail cell. When He makes you free, it's just as though you've never sinned. That's going to matter a lot when we get to heaven. So I hearken back to my salvation, realizing, "God, you saved me. You made me a Christian. I called upon you, came into my heart, took away all my sin. Lord, you've made me righteous in your eyes with the blood of your son because you sent him down to Calvary." Then I get over here and say, "Yeah, now I'm a Christian. Now I ought to have these things." So you come from being lost and alone and in burden of sin and in doubt and in guilt and in anger and in hate, and you walk over here. God saves you. God provides you. God gives His only begotten Son to die for you. This is where we are. How do we get here? I'm a Christian. I deserve better. Now look at this. "Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat." Look at this next verse. "But ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. I think He's trying to make a point here, amen? "But even a whole month," look at this now, God is not happy. "But even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you." because that ye, look at this now, I want you to see the next words. Because you've despised the manna. Huh? Because you've despised the provision. Huh? Because you've despised the way I've provided it. You despise the taste of it. You despise the look of it. Nope. You despised me. Wrap your head around that. Wrap your head around the fact that when I was given a bike and I wished it to be another bike, I wasn't despising the bike, I was despising the Lord. Sobered up quick in here, didn't it? Huh? God has given you, listen, I don't know, I don't have all the answers to why things happen the way they happen in a Christian life. I don't. But I do know this. When we're not happy with what God has done for us, and let me tell you, that's why I keep saying this over and over, God is good all the time, because I'm going to tell you, the things that have happened in my life, God has taken good care of me. For me to come over here, and I do, and so do you, for me to come over here is despising God, not what God has done. Despising God. I don't want to be a God despiser. I find myself over there. And it's your flesh that doesn't understand that, but you can't blame it there. You got to take responsibility for how you feel and what you do. You got to take responsibility for how you see God and how you perceive what He's given you. You got to take responsibility because you're saying in your heart, it's not good enough, God. What you've done is not good enough. And you're saying to God, I despise you because of it. Which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Put that in our day. God, why did you save me if you're going to put me through this? I'm going to tell you right now, if that doesn't sober you up quickly as a Christian, you got to hear me again. How many times have we thought, man, I wish I could go back to what I was doing because it was so much more fun? I wish I could go back to that sinful life. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that you've never thought about that, I wish I could go back to that. I would that you'd be honest with yourself. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about, I'm telling you right now, there was nothing that you had back here that was any good. But how often do we hearken back? Here there was slavery, standing in the mud, no straw, making bricks, people. They were crying, oh God, the oppressors, the taskmasters, the whip, the death, the hatred, the stink, everything back, a terrible, God, get us out. So God with a mighty hand, we went over what the mighty hand was, God with a mighty hand took them out just like the mighty hand took you out. It took His only begotten Son. And we get here, it's not good enough. I look at myself and I say, how many times have I despised God? How many times have I not only not been thankful, not been excited about what God has done? Taken a little snot-nosed brat, saved at 11 years old, lived like the devil for years, and God still kept me alive through the devil years, kept me alive throughout all those years, giving me His wonderful word and ingraining it in my heart and the things, the truths that He's given me and the ability to come into this church and preach His word with confidence and with joy, knowing that I'm preaching the truth. And I'm going to say it's not enough. Why came we for? God, why did you even save me? If this is what I'm going to go through, why did you even save me? Do you know why I believe there's going to be a lot of people on their knees when they get to heaven? Because they can't believe how they treated God when they were here. Think about that. I'm going to be one of them. I make fun of the preachers that say, I'm just going to give God a hug. You're going to give God a hug. You're going to walk in front of God and I don't even know if I'm going to have a chance to see the eyes that refine me with their fire. I'm going to see Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even know what I'm going to say. But I do know one thing for sure. I can't get low enough on the ground. If I could sink myself into the ground, I would do it. Because of how I've treated God while I was here. out of everything he's given me, out of everything he's done for me, how I treated God while I was here. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Now I'm on verse 21. Moses now doubts. Do you remember the first things that we talked about? 10 plagues, parting of the Red Sea, making the waters not bitter. All this stuff God has done, provided manna. Now he says he's going to provide flesh, and Moses says, well, what am I going to do about that? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? I think Moses is getting snotty here. You ever getting snotty? Or shall all the fish of the sea, think about this now, think about what Moses is saying here. Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them, these bread people? You said you're going to get flesh. Where am I going to get it? Where'd you get the bread, stupid? And the Lord said unto Moses, I love this. I don't believe he said this quietly. Look at this statement. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? I believe Moses, in the midst of his complaining, got cut off by God. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Is my hand waxed short, you little punk? All these things that I showed you, and they're fresh in his mind. Come on now. If you saw the reds, I don't think that's ever going to leave you. All this I've given you, and now you're going to ask me how I'm going to do it? Look what it says here. Look what it says here. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. You're my preacher, and you're going to see it come unto thee because you don't even believe me. And Moses went out and told the people all the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people of Israel and set them round about the tabernacle. He gathered these 70 men. God took some of the endowment of power off of Moses and spread it out to these 70 men so they could help him in the ministry. He was ministering. His church was about 2 million some odd people. He had a lot of people to take care of. But understand this, I don't believe God necessarily wanted Moses not to be in charge anymore. I don't know that God was ready to take this off of Moses. I'm telling you right now, I think God always wanted Moses to be right where he was, because Moses was directing the people toward God. You take these 70 men, all of a sudden now we've got a split of power. And associate pastors kill a church. They do. All across America, if they don't give God the glory and realize that they're under the under-shepherd, you're going to have a church tore up in a hurry. Now here's these men, and I'm not saying that this happened, but I'm telling you, I think God could take care of Moses no matter how many people there were. Look at this. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now skip down to verse 31. Now we're not going to get through all this, but I want to show it to you, and then we'll talk about it next week, maybe. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp as it was a day's journey on this side and on the other side. I'm going to stop right here because we're going to finish up the rest next week. And then we're going to compare God's provision with man's provision. By the way, God brought quail. Pretty good thing he didn't bring cows. Eat more chicken. I want you to think this week, and you can read this over because this is obviously not secret. But God does something that I don't believe the people would ever forget. Yet it's amazing, even after they were taught this lesson, they complained the more later. And by the way, we as people, as Christians, and this is my challenge to you today, to say over and over again throughout the day in your life, every day, because we get sour-faced so fast as Christians. We get sour-faced so quick. We get upset with how things are going so fast. I'm one of them. I'm maybe the chief in this whole wide room. Things that don't go my way, I get upset. You start out my day with things not going my way, the rest of the day is shot. I just have a hard time getting my car back in gear when my day starts out bad, because I think everything ought to go my way. You know? I want you to start saying to yourself that God is good all the time. But more than that, I want you to look for ways that He is. Look for ways that God is good to you. And by the way, it's amazing to us. We screw up and we expect God to forgive us, but we don't expect to be thankful for what God has done for us. Oh, yeah, I messed up, God. Yeah, you know me. It's under the blood. Amen? It's under the blood, God. Yeah, I know that bad word I just said. It's under the blood. Yes, sir. Thank you, God. Love you. See you next month when I do something else stupid. Instead of getting every day, waking up. Now listen to me. What did the children do? They woke up fresh every morning and gathered. They woke up and found fresh provision every single day. Let me help you a little bit. I'm not a Joel Osteen. I'm not going to pass around chicken buckets. But understand this. God provides you fresh every single day if we'll look to see what God has provided. I would love you to wake up in the morning and say manna. Just wake up and say, what is it? What is it, God? What have you done for me today? Wake up and ask and seek what God has provided for you. Just see. If we could get into the mindset of focusing on the provision and getting away from the pride, I believe you'd have better days. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I'm preaching this to me.